Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harker coming your way, and I'm glad to be able to share with you in our broadcast time today. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others of you tuned in by the way of Ionia, WIONI 1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. WION is now also heard at 100.3 FM, and that's in the Low and Ada area. So I welcome those of you from that area to our broadcast time this morning. We appreciate your tuning us in. Very special. That's very special to be a part of WION. Some of you tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we now stream both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock, and I welcome you. Those of you just listening by way of my website is pastorkenharger.com. You bring your mouse over to a place where it says Messages from the Lighthouse, and then you can click on Current Messages, and there's also a storage there of past messages. You can listen or download any one of those you desire. They're all just waiting there to be heard. So God bless you. Whatever way you tuned this in, I'm just glad to be able to share with you in our broadcast time. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of my broadcast time. So a big thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. And she's from Orleans, Michigan. To Gay London in memory and honor of her husband Dave, and she's from Greenville. And to Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee. To Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area, and to Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belding area. I appreciate all of those that helped me with the support of the broadcast so we can be on the air and continue to do what I've been able to do for many years. A big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger, who takes care of all of my music, and I appreciate her very much. I always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. That's where I pastored for 50 years, and I still attend there. And at Orleans campus, Saturday evening begins our service, 6:30. Sunday morning, we do a 9 o'clock service, and then we do a contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus, which is the old Lutheran church up by the new McDonald's on M91 north of town, and our Sunday morning service there is at 11 o'clock. I think that takes care of the things I need to take care of. Our message this morning, the gentle shepherd came to our town today and reached out to those who are socially and we're socially unwelcome, so to speak. We'll talk about that and straighten it out in just a minute. But as I share with you this morning, just so glad that we can come into your home or your car, or wherever you're listening at this moment, and ask God's special blessing to be upon you. But first, we'll get started by listening to a song, and I hate to do this to you. This is a song that many people learned in Sunday school. We're going to be talking about Zacchaeus today. And so this song is about Zacchaeus, and probably these words are going to be running through your mind all the rest of the day, and I apologize for that, but Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Here we go. God bless you.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as our Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. Zacchaeus, you come down. We're going to your house today.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. Zacchaeus, you come down, we're going to your house today. Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree.
Zacchaeus, you come down. I hate to have that going through your mind all day. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Got some lessons from this wee little man, some things that God wants to share with us this morning. Looking at the town that he came and the people that he came to minister to. And so we're looking forward to God's blessing and what we'll be sharing with you. But before we do, we need to have a word of prayer. So let me bow before our great and mighty God, and we're going to ask the Lord's blessing especially to be upon you, the listening audience. Let's bow together. Dear Father, once again I come before you. I'd like to thank you for each person that's tuned the broadcast in. Wherever they're listening, I just ask your special blessing to be upon them today. Father, I want to pray for the listening audience. And a week goes by, a lot of things can happen in 1 week. Some can be very good and special and we're excited about. Others are very difficult and causing us pain and sorrow and grief. So I just pray for the listening audience this morning that you would minister to them whatever their need is. Jesus, you're so good about meeting us at the point of our need. So if they're in need of encouragement, I pray, Father, that your Son, the Lord Jesus, would encourage. I pray if you want to use this message, you would use this message to do the same thing. I want to pray for those that might be just a little disappointed. Something happened this week that's turned their world kind of upside down. Others may be going through grief because of a loss of a loved one. Maybe somebody just found out this week that they have cancer. We ask your blessing to be upon them. Maybe somebody else is just going through just a financial difficulty. Just things have came all unraveled. And whatever it is, Father, good or bad, I pray that they might sense your presence. You've promised that you would never abandon us, you would never leave us, so we claim that promise and ask that your blessing would be upon each and every one. Then, Father, I want to pray for those that may be listening in as they drive to their church this morning. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would make them a blessing in their church and you would give them a blessing. Father, would you be pleased to honor your word, that it may not return to you void, empty, but it'll accomplish the purpose that you're sending it out for. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that in that wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, today the gentle shepherd came to our town. And the town that we're talking about is the town Jericho. Jericho was located in the Jordan Valley. It was just a few miles to the west of the Jordan River and north of the Dead Sea. The city is an oasis, a little paradise with palm trees and rose gardens and a delightful climate. And today I want us to think about the story of Zacchaeus coming to Jesus. Started out with this thought given to us in Luke chapter 19, which will give us a good reason to consider what God is saying here. It'll be a blessing to each one of our lives. It says, as it starts out the story, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. He was just going to pass through that little town of Jericho on his way to the next town to do what he'd be doing there. I want to use this thought as a foundation for this week's devotion time, for today's message time, as we learn how important little things are in life. They're valuable. The little things here is his timing. Jesus is just passing through the city. So the window of opportunity for anything to happen in that city is very small as Jesus passes through the city on his way to wherever he was going. And early on in my Christian life, God seemed to always use little things that often are overlooked, like he entered Jericho and was passing through, to draw my attention to how God uses little things to bring about his work in our lives. He's going to do some work, but it's just going to be a little thing. The idea, he's just passing through, but things are going to change, and we'll get into that as we go along today. As I was studying for today's devotion, I came across a story in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, that tells the story of building of the second temple. God is using a man by the name of Zeburado, or something like that, I can't pronounce it, to lead the work, and the promise that is this work is going to be completed in verse 10. I love this thought. The people should not think that small things are unimportant. They will be happy when they see this man's tools and he begins to work on the temple. Another way it was put is this way. It is said, for whosoever has despised the day of small things will rejoice when they see the work begins. And you know, that's just giving us an idea of something small in your life has more value than you give to it. And it was a destructive time in the nation of Israel, and they wanted to build this second temple. And as they were building, getting ready to build the second temple, it said, you know, it'd be a small thing just to say, well, there's the head carpenter, and he's kind of got his tools, and there he's laying out the building of the temple. It has to start somewhere, folks. And many times it just starts with the small thing. And I think we need to know that that's pretty special. That's pretty special in your life. It starts out with a small thing. That's the way we started is physically. I believe that's the way we start spiritually. He says we're just a newborn babe in Christ Jesus. And so we need to realize this week we'll notice how little and insignificant things which God uses to bring about salvation to a man by the name of Zacchaeus. We shall see as we continue on in our study this morning. It seems obvious that this little thing of curiosity, which was prime motive of why Zacchaeus is going to look for Jesus, he just was curious. He heard a lot of things about him, but he never met him. And so he wanted to really see him. But he was little in stature. And so he had to do something to be able to see Jesus, and so he climbed up into a sycamore tree. But you know what? There's a verse that I really like in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 27. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world, and that which is despised things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one should boast in themselves. You know what God's saying there? God loves to use the little things. One of the ways that I remind myself of it is God loves to take the insignificant and make it significant. Sometimes we need to get a hold of something like that that will help us in our Christian experience. The insignificant. I felt very insignificant when I felt a call to the ministry. But God just loves to take the insignificant. One time I remember the Apostle Paul came in prayer to God and speaking to the Lord Jesus in prayer, and he had some kind of physical ailment that was bothering him. He asked the Lord three times, Lord, would you get this away from me? Would you remove this? And finally God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Listen to this, folks. In your weakness, you will find my strength. That's what's good to understand. It's okay to be a small thing. It's okay to be insignificant. But God wants to use that insignificant to bring about some tremendous results. And the insignificant for this morning, as we use our foundation, is that it is said that Jesus was just passing through the town of Jericho on his way to somewhere else. Let me pick it up for you in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. Now, I've got to get a hold of that. He was a chief tax collector. That means he probably had other tax collectors that worked under him, people that he would hire, and they would collect taxes, and a portion of what they collected would come to Zacchaeus as well. So he was very rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. but on account of the crowd they could not, because he was small of stature. He wants to get a peek at Jesus. I think that's all he wants, is just a peek at Jesus, just curiosity. Who is this man? What does he look like? I want to hear him speak and so on. But there was always a crowd around the Lord Jesus. And that crowd was there because he would teach as he'd walk along the road. He would be healing things, and the crowd just didn't want to miss anything. So Zacchaeus has in his mind, there's only one path, and he's coming down this path, so I'm going to go down the road a little further. So he ran on ahead, Zacchaeus did, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree. And as he was in that sycamore tree, he just wanted to get again, if I can make that known to you, he just wanted to get a peek at Jesus. He climbed up in the sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today." What a beautiful thing. This man was an outcast. This man was considered as an outcast in the circle of other tax, not in the circle of other tax people, but without a doubt, this chief tax collector had no respect amongst the Jewish people. He was a Jew who was working for the Roman government to collect taxes, and so people didn't like that. They looked at him as just an outcast. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with him because he was a Jew collecting taxes for the Roman government. In that process, he became rich, but it also cost him with a lot of hatred from the Jewish people. This is the place Zacchaeus finds himself because of the circumstances of his life. But in his heart, I believe, he wanted to belong. Zacchaeus didn't like being shoved aside. Zacchaeus didn't like being pushed aside as a social outcast. When he heard about Jesus, he wanted to see Jesus. Then there was always this crowd around him. I want to share with my interpretation of what this was like as he sat there in that sycamore tree waiting for Jesus to pass. In my thinking, first of all, Jesus and the crowd's down the road quite a ways. But each step they take to get in a little closer. And I believe as they got a little closer, Zacchaeus' heart began to beat a little faster. Jesus is coming closer, get a chance to get a look at him. Something that Zacchaeus never expected was Jesus came and he stopped right underneath the sycamore tree. Now I got to tell you, Zacchaeus' heart is beating faster. It's beating harder. He's thinking they're going to hear his heartbeat. And, you know, he's so nervous, he's about ready to fall out of the tree. And then Jesus looked up into the tree, and the eyes of Zacchaeus caught the eyes of Jesus. Let me say it again. Zacchaeus was only looking to get a peek at Jesus, but all of a sudden, now they're face to face. They're eye to eye. And then all of a sudden, without anybody saying anything, he says, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." Boy, can you imagine when Zacchaeus heard his name by the one that he just wanted to get a peek with? And this one knows his name and knows who he is. I think he must have almost fell out of the tree. And down the tree he came. And when he's standing on the ground, all of a sudden, instead of just a peek at Jesus, he's right up close and personal to this one Jesus. I think that he really wanted just to get a peek. But here he is standing right in his presence. Can you imagine it, folks? Can you feel it? Can you feel the sense that Zacchaeus is feeling? As all of a sudden, he is face to face with this one Jesus. It's a good lesson for us. Sometimes maybe because of curiosity or other reasons, we want to get close to Jesus. But you know what? Jesus likes to be up close and personal. He wants us to understand. Remember when we went through the shepherd story? It was that he was my shepherd. God wants us to realize that he wants us to belong to him. You know, growing up as a child, I remember asking my mom many different times, do I belong in this family? I had a feeling in my heart, had no reason to have that feeling, that I either was adopted or something else, you know. Mom, do I belong in this family? Do I belong? I got to tell you, one of the first things I learned when I come to know the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior was that God tells us that I belong to him. And you know, Zacchaeus wanted to belong. Have you been to that place in your life where you're not being accepted and you want to belong? I'm coming to your house today, Jesus said. That let Zacchaeus know, you belong, Zacchaeus. I'm going to spend some time with you. Remember now, he was just entering into Jericho and he was passing through. That's the foundation we're building our message upon. And all of a sudden now he's saying he's going to stay overnight with Zacchaeus. He's coming to his house today. And I love that. Listen to what it says. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and he came down and he received Jesus joyfully. I love that. He received Jesus joyfully. He was received and responded with receiving Jesus joyfully as well. And when they saw that, the crowd that was there, they all started grumbling with one another. He's invited himself to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. He's an outcast. Why would he go to Zacchaeus' house? Why would he want to even spend any time with Zacchaeus? Why isn't he continuing on his journey where he was headed? And all of a sudden, Zacchaeus stood tall, and he said, Lord, listen to this now, folks. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I'll give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold. That was a law of the Old Testament. If you stole somebody's lamb or sheep, if you stole somebody's, then when you was caught, you had to give them back four. Not just the one that you stole, but three others. And that's what Zacchaeus is saying. And Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. He also is a son of Abraham. Means he's a believer. Abraham believed God. And now this man is believing God. So he's a son of Abraham. I love Zacchaeus' response to Jesus inviting him to stay at his house. The outside response was that he hurried and he came down and he received Jesus joyfully. But there's an inside response. And you know, that's what God is looking at. Have you heard it before? Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And all of a sudden there was a heart response. As he stood there, he said, Lord, I'll give half of my goods to the poor. What I have accumulated, half of it's going to help poor people. And if I have taken advantage of anyone, I'll pay him back fourfold. I love the change that took place because of Jesus letting him know, Zacchaeus, you belong. I'm coming to your house today. But I also love it that this change took place in a period of time from being up in the tree till he was standing on the ground. Jesus has a way of changing us, folks, from the inside out. All psychology, all self-helps, tries to change a person from the outside in. But the Lord Jesus' desire is to change us from the inside out. I like the thoughts about change. Instead of him now having a passion to get, Zacchaeus now has a passion to give. That's change. That's a huge change. His grip on material things all of a sudden was loosened. and he was ready to give away at least half of his fortune and maybe more. We need to remember that everyone will be excited about the news of your relationship with Jesus and Jesus' relationship with you. Remember these people, Zacchaeus, they murmured. He's going to be in the house of a sinner. What's wrong with Jesus? Why would he do that? They not only are grumbling about Zacchaeus and who he is, they're grumbling about the Lord Jesus. He's gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. I love how Jesus responded with the news. He said, "This day salvation has come to this house." Not only was Jesus coming to Zacchaeus' house, but salvation was coming to Zacchaeus' house. That was something very special. I need to pause right here because there's one more verse in that scripture. And this is what it says. And I think it tells us the mission of the Lord Jesus in that day when he was here on planet Earth. And I believe it's still the same mission of Jesus today, to you, to me, to our entire listening audience. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the purpose of his mission. And as he's traveling on the road to Jericho, where he was just going to pass through the town and be on his way, all of a sudden now he's staying overnight at a sinner's house. I love Jesus. I love the way he reaches out like that. But he's come to seek and to save. He's looking for you. He's looking for me. I'm so glad he found me when I was about 18 years old and I was in need of direction for my life. And that changed my entire life because I responded to this one Jesus. You know what? There's a song that we're going to listen to, and it tells us, "I'd rather be saved." You know, all of those riches and stuff didn't matter to Zacchaeus at this point in time. He just wanted to come to know this one Jesus and to get a better acquainted with him. He first was just looking for a peek. But you know, it was important to see that Jesus was there. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
The word says he was rich. Zacchaeus struggled with the choice, right, wrong, or which. He could keep what he collected, but he knew someday it'd pay. So he chose to follow Jesus, said, "I'll give it all away.
Give it all away.
I'd rather be saved than anything I know. I'd rather be
washed in the blood
of Calvary's flow,
Calvary's flow,
than to have my name written all over this hole. Living in your worldly way, admired by those who live close by, they think you've got it made. Still you feel like old Zacchaeus with an emptiness inside.
If you choose to follow Jesus,
every need he will
supply.
I'd rather be saved than anything I know. I'd rather be
washed in the blood
of Calvary's flow than to have my name written all over this old world.
Well, what do you think of that? I'd rather be saved than anything I know. I gotta tell you, folks, I believe without a doubt Zacchaeus was gonna see life in a whole new way after spending some time with Jesus. And you know what I love about that? He's already said what his mission's gonna be now, Zacchaeus' mission. He's gonna give away up to half of his riches. He's going to help poor people. And if somebody says that he cheated them, he's going to give them back fourfold. You know what? Zacchaeus is going to feel good inside. Because that's where God did his work, was inside Zacchaeus. You know, we're going to leave Jericho. And I'm not saying this is the next town that Jesus was going to. But we're going to head to the city or the town of Bethany. It was a village of on the southeast slope of the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. It was on the road to Jericho. It derived its name from the number of palm trees which grew there. It was the residence of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, his sisters. And we're going to talk about them today. We're going to think about them today. In Jesus' ministry, I want to do something first, though. We find him in so many different towns. And every town he was in, because of his presence, and the many wonderful things he did, and the things he taught in each city, when he left the town, it was different than it was when he came. But today, for this thought, I want us to think not so much of what Jesus did in the town of Bethany, but I want us to think of how special the city of Bethany was to Jesus and to his ministry, and the blessing that Jesus received because of being in the city of Bethany. You know, I think God reminds us that this is something that we should consider. Not only to take from Jesus, but to give to Jesus. You know, I've noticed that when I do a funeral for a family, one of the questions I like to ask of the dad or the mom or the grandpa or grandma is, did they have any place they loved to go? And many times the family members will share with me, they really loved to go camping. Now I said, did they camp all over? Did they have a favorite spot? They say yes, and they'll name the campground. They really loved it. Did they spend the winters in Michigan, or did they go to a warmer climate? Oh, they'll mention they just loved a warmer climate, maybe in Texas, maybe in Arizona, maybe in Florida. That's something very special. That was a favorite place for them to go and spend a winter. Now, having spent 12 winters in Destin, Florida, of a month of February at least, but that's a total of 1 year, Bev and I have come to that same feeling. The area of Destin was a very special place for us. It became our home away from home, and it became a special time in our life. We spent time with our children there and sharing the Gulf of Mexico with them and the sandy beach and so on. That was very special. This was true of Jesus and the town of Bethany. It became a very special place to him because of the many special things that happened in that town. Jesus was in Bethany. He was at the house of Simon, a man that had suffered from skin disease. And while Jesus was sitting there, a woman came to him. She had a bottle of very expensive perfume made from pure nard. Now, what that nard is... I didn't explain that in my devotion time, so I had a question about that. It was a mixture of a very expensive type of perfume. Matter of fact, it was so expensive that sometimes they would do, it wouldn't be the real thing. They'd have a little bit of nard in it, but not the real thing. And this was such a strong fragrance and such a beautiful perfume. And that woman opened this bottle that she had of perfume, and she anointed the head of Jesus. We have no way of knowing why this woman wanted to anoint the head of Jesus, other than she wanted to express her feelings in her heart. So she came and she did what she could do with what she had. And I believe God wants us to come to that point in our life, where from our heart we're willing to give what we can. And he wants us to feel the fact that he enjoys us giving to him. Whatever you give to God, he will receive. Because you know what? God not only receives the gift, but he receives the giver. I love it, even in the book of Corinthians, chapter 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, let him give. Not grudgingly, not out of necessity. Now listen to this, folks. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Remember what Zacchaeus said? I'll take half of my riches and I'll give to the poor. That's one of the ways that we can see that God is at work in the heart of a human heart. When God is at work, we want to be assistance to others. We want to help others. And God is reminding us that this woman comes and she anoints the head of Jesus and Jesus receives that. But just like everybody didn't receive Zacchaeus, everybody's not going to receive what this woman has just done. It's going to cause grumbling again. It's interesting how that grumbling forces its way out of people's lives when they think what they need to think and what they're thinking is different than what just happened. Let me go on with the story. Jesus is there to defend this woman in the little town of Bethany. Some who were there were irritated, and they said one to another, "Why was this perfume wasted like this? This perfume could have been sold for a high price, and the money could have been given to the poor." So they said some very unkind things to this woman. Let me just pause there before I give you the rest of the story. Zacchaeus is given to the poor in the town that he was, Jericho. Now we're in Bethany, and these people, when they saw this woman anoint the head of Jesus, they said, "You know what? That could have been sold for a lot of money. That's expensive perfume." They could tell just by the smell of it. That's expensive perfume. And that could have been sold for a whole lot of money and given to the poor. So they're complaining against her. And sad to say, they said some nasty things to her, some unkind things is the way the scripture said it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone." I love that. Jesus came to her defense. "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her?" It's almost like saying, "What business is it of yours? What this woman wanted to do with what she had. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing for me," Jesus says. She just anointed him with that perfume and he smelled wonderful. And Jesus said, "That's a beautiful thing she's done for me." Now you say, how could it be beautiful that, you know, that could have been sold for a lot of money and helped a lot of poor people? Wouldn't that have been a beautiful thing? Listen to what Jesus said, and it's true today. "You will always have the poor with you." And listen to what he says now. "And you can help them whatever way you want to." You can help them. They're figuring this woman should have taken her money, and she should have sold the perfume and got money and helped the poor. Jesus said, "The poor will always be with you." Been over 2,000 years that Jesus said those things. And you know what, folks? We still have the poor with us. And there's poor and then there's poor. And you know what? Jesus was right. We today, each one of us, can do whatever we want to do to help the poor. And I believe we ought to do whatever we can do. Every now and then we need to reach out and do some things that's going to help the poor. But Jesus said, I want you to know why I accept this beautiful thing she's done for me. He says, she came to pour perfume on my body before it is placed in a tomb. This perfume that this lady anointed the head of Jesus with, this perfume was used in the burial process of the Jewish people. It was one of the perfumes that they used to wrap the body in. Mary and Martha, Mary and the other ladies are coming to the tomb, and they have some of this ointment to wrap the body of Jesus after his death. But Jesus is saying, she's done it before. She's done this before. And I can guarantee you this truth. Wherever the good news is spoken in the world, what this woman has done will be told in memory of her. It's hard to believe. When this woman wanted to do what she wanted to do for Jesus, it's hard to believe that others would criticize both the gift and the giver. Remember I said, Jesus receives the gift and the giver. But these people criticize. What a waste. You know what they're saying? It's a waste that they dumped that on, that she dumped that on Jesus' head. It could have been sold. Now they're criticizing Jesus too. Why didn't he stop her? Why did he let her dump that perfume on his head? We could have helped the poor people. That sounds very caring, doesn't it? They really want to help the poor people. Except they went on to say some unkind things to this woman because she did what she did. And can I say, that's not very caring. That's not very caring to criticize another person for what they want to do because of their relationship with Jesus. I love it that Jesus stood up for her when he said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? This is none of your business. And I love it that he said, I accept this. I accept her. I accept her gift. What she has done to me, I believe Jesus is saying, is a beautiful thing. And Jesus switched attention from the accusers, from the accused rather, to the accusers, and spoke a word of truth. You always have the poor with you, folks. And you guys can do anything you want to help the poor. It won't be any there's no law against helping the poor. Then Jesus went on to say that he received this gift. And I don't believe this woman could have known why she was doing it. But I love the way Jesus says, she's kind of prepared my body ahead of time because I'm going to die and I'm going to be placed in a tomb. I have no way to prove this next thought, folks, but I want you to know that I do believe it. I believe that Jesus took what this woman did to him as a hug from God the Father in preparation for his coming death. I believe maybe God the Father put it in the heart of this woman, go anoint my son's body with that perfume. Pretty special. Jesus honored her. I love what it says. Jesus said to those people, I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what this woman has done today will also be told in memory of her. Can you imagine that? She did something for Jesus when she met Jesus. And what she did for Jesus, Jesus is saying, will be shared wherever the gospel is preached as a memory of her. And as I share this message with you today, and I share this thought with you today, I'm fulfilling Jesus' prediction. Wherever the gospel is preached, it'll be told there was a woman who one day took some very costly perfume and she anointed the head of Jesus. But also, folks, the negative is spoken to, that there was those who criticized her and criticized Jesus because of what she had done. I got to tell you, that's something that is tremendously wrong for us to do. Criticize another person's relationship with Jesus and Jesus' relationship with them. The town of Bethany is a very special town. Many believe it is Mary of the Mary and Martha that anointed the head of Jesus at this time. But I want to come back to Bethany for just a few moments. And I want to speak of Martha. And this story, I believe, is in the scripture to remind us that there's the things that you and I can do that shows our love for God. And then there's a busyness that we can be busy about, which needs to be done many times. But don't leave out the idea of showing our love for Jesus. And I believe Martha did that, but let me just give you the story. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to the village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had to be making. She came to Jesus and she asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And I love Jesus' response. He says, "Martha, Martha." The Lord answered, "You're worried about and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will never be taken away from her." That's from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. You know, this family that was there was Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It's because of their home that Jesus had so many good feelings. Jesus often stayed there, just like he stayed at Zacchaeus's. And Jesus often felt very welcome there. And I see Martha felt very comfortable as she did the things for Jesus, as she invited Jesus with her kind hospitality for him and for his disciples to come and have lunch together. Maybe when she asked that, she didn't really think it through really well, thinking, now I've got to fix lunch for 15 people. But as the story unfolds, Mary is sitting in the other room with the 15 people and listening to Jesus as he speaks the word. Matter of fact, it says she's seated right at the feet of Jesus. And that was often saying, "I'm a student of Jesus." And she's this sitting there listening to Jesus share the words he was sharing. And in the meantime, Martha's in the kitchen and she's got so much to do and she just can't do it all by herself. And she comes running to Jesus or comes into the room and says to Jesus, "Jesus, don't you care that I'm out in the kitchen working so hard? And Mary's just sitting in here. Tell her to help me." I love it that Martha felt comfortable to ask Jesus and come to Jesus and say that. But Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, so many things that you're doing and you've got a lot to do." And I think he's really saying, don't do so much. Just a little sandwich would be well enough. I think she's going to put on the best meal she's probably ever put on. One thing would be necessary. Just do it one thing. And he says, "You know what? Your sister Mary has chosen that which is good." I need to know, and you need to know, that God's saying you and I need physical food. But he's also saying, You and I need spiritual food. We need spiritual food coming into our life. I believe both Mary and Martha were helped because one moment in his presence of Jesus, I believe changes everything. And we need to know that. And we need to believe that and accept that as a part of our own individual life before him. Got a song we're going to listen to. It's called Alabaster Box. It's speaking about this perfume that was spread on Jesus' head. We'll listen. God bless you. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
She stumbled through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for your kind." Still on she came, through the tears that flushed her face, till at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard, as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster. And I've come to pour my praise on him, like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. 'Cause you weren't there the night he fell. The cause of the oil in my alabaster box. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound, and I spent my day my life without measure into a little treasure box.